Let's talk a little Boston sports. To do that, we turn to Michael Hurley of WBZ-TV, CBS Boston. Hello there, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. How's your day?
Oh, it's wonderful. How's yours?
It's all right. Had to deal with some slush. We got some snow and then some rain on top of it. So that was my workout today, was slinging slush out of the driveway.
Yeah, the best part of that is it opens the door for maybe a 3,000-calorie dinner just from all the exercise. So that's how I wrap my head around those types of days. So that's good.
It's funny you say that, because as I was trying to toss that slush over my shoulder, I was picturing various things that I could eat because I had burned so many calories off. We think alike. I'm impressed with that.
Exactly. Big fat burger.
Oh, well, that sounds good. Burger would be good. Pizza, I've not had pizza in a while. That could work.
You could eat a whole pizza because of all the exercise. So, what a day.
My. Now I want more of that. More snow, more slush, please. Let's see where to begin. Let's talk about the Patriots situation. You wrote about it online at CBSNews.com. The Bill O'Brien hiring could be very good news for Mac Jones.
Yeah, for sure. I think we all knew it and we all understood it, but the story that I'm sure you've seen from the Boston Herald this morning really just laying out the dysfunction and dissatisfaction within the ranks of the Patriots offense. I think that it speaks to the professionalism of Mac Jones and all of his teammates, that all of that stuff kind of stayed behind closed doors during the year, because from what we can understand about, say, Joe Judge, prior to him getting this job, during this job, is that he's just not qualified and isn't aware of it. He just seems like someone who would not have any sort of self-awareness to recognize his weaknesses and faults. So I think it was just a really... Mac Jones was set up to fail last year with the coaching situation. Now, at least, I don't know how he's going to do. I don't know his long-term outlook, but now he can at least continue his progression that he had really made every year since 2018 at Alabama, into 2019 when he stepped in for Tua, into 2020 when he won the national championship and set an NCAA record for completion percentage, and then had one of the better rookie years for a quarterback that the NFL has ever seen. So I think getting back to that is ideal for him, where last year really was just a raw deal.
And I see people complain about his lack of arm strength. I think that's pretty overrated, and I think you can look around at plenty of examples around the league of quarterbacks who can't chuck at 70 yards but can still be effective, but you've got to have a good game plan that plays to their strengths and not their weaknesses.
Right, and you know the closest all of this came to coming out was after that Thursday night Bills loss, when Kendrick Bourne said, we line up and the defense knows what we're doing and we don't do anything about it. But that is kind of the story. Like, they were very easy to defend. Imagine you're a defensive coordinator and you're playing the 2022 Patriots tonight. Do you even need 10 minutes to come up with the game plan? You know, there's no one you need to specify your game plan for. There's no one you need to double. There's no one you need to worry about killing you. So it is coaching. It is personnel. And I think with Bill O'Brien, for as high as I am on the hiring for establishing some sort of level of just respectability and reliability, I think there's a lot of personnel work that's going to need to be done between now and in April through free agency and the draft to build an offensive line, to figure out what you're doing at tight end, to figure out what kind of running team you are. Do you go back to a fullback? And then do you get someone on the outside who is one of those guys that teams have to account for? So I don't think all of their problems are solved, but I think this news today that O'Brien is OC and quarterbacks coach is about as good of a first step as they could have taken.
And what happens to Joe Judge? Does he become a personnel guy now?
I would hope not. I mean, the guy, if you've ever spoken to him, you know what, you can get a sense of what the players must feel like, because even just doing a Zoom with reporters, there's this sort of talking down and condescension and sort of, listen, I know what I'm doing, listen, that gets just, it wears you out. So I don't know. It seemed like he had no credibility in that locker room, which is, there was a report that the year that he was the receivers coach with the Patriots, the players sort of challenged him and said, you don't know what you're talking about. And it led to a blow up at practice. The Giants stint, obviously his 30-minute press conference after losing in week 17 and running two quarterback sneaks from the 4-yard line, There's just a lack of credibility and believability with that guy that I think everyone but Bill Belichick sees. I don't know who would get in Bill Belichick's ear and convince him otherwise. So I guess until further notice, he's around. But I don't see that as a positive for the Patriots.
So, yeah, well, let's talk about the Belichick role in all of this. Is that simply his belief that his guys are somehow inheriting what he knows about the game? Is it arrogance on his part, or is he just out of touch with what the players are experiencing?
It's all of those are possibilities. It's hard to put a finger on it. I can't discount the finances of it, which is kind of a disturbing aspect in that Patricia was getting paid by the Lions and Judge was getting paid by the Giants. And according to one report, now that Patricia's not getting paid by the Lions, he might not be around anymore at all, which is an odd way to run a team if you just get whoever's available for free when these are high-level, high-important, high-stakes jobs that there's only 32 offensive coordinators in the league, and you just picked a guy because he's free, who everyone knew was going to fail, who did fail. It's hard to really figure out the reasoning behind that. But whatever it might be, you came up with three possibilities there. We could come up with five more. Whatever the possibilities might be, it was never a good idea to have that offensive setup going into the second year with the if Tom Brady was the quarterback. Honestly, it would have been mitigated. They probably would have won more games, and it wouldn't have been as clear and obvious to everybody. But still, there was no way that team, as constructed, was going to win a Super Bowl. So I don't understand what the point was. It doesn't feel like Bill Belichick would ever just waste a year and punt it away for no reason. So I don't know. That's the mystery that I guess lingers on.
We're talking with Michael Hurley here on Downtown. The situation on defense wasn't quite as dire, but will someone be designated as the defensive coordinator?
It's really interesting, I think, the hierarchy, because it does seem that in the past year and a half, Steve Belichick went from standing shoulder to shoulder with Gerard Mayo to kind of elevating to defensive coordinator, at least in terms of play caller. But with the way that the Patriots putting the full court press on Gerard Mayo this offseason, with the unprecedented press release saying we are working to retain him, which we've never seen from this owner or head coach before. It shows that Gerard Mayo forced himself to have some sort of elevation. I don't know how that plays out exactly, but I think ultimately it's sort of the opposite of what I was saying with Judge and Patricia. Whatever it may be, it is a positive for the Patriots that Gerard Mayo, who is considered a head coaching candidate by much of the NFL, would have had a fourth head coaching interview if he had went on it with the Panthers this year, which is, you know, that's a lot of teams that consider him to be a highly regarded coach. So the fact that he's still around, whatever it may be, they can figure their titles out. They've learned to work without them from an ego and pride standpoint. But as long as he's still there and involved, I think that's just ultimately a positive for the Patriots.
Who do you think ends up in the Super Bowl?
That's a great question. I have some serious concerns about Patrick Mahomes and his ankle. I know he's, you know, walking off the podium without limping. He was lightly jogging in front of the media at practice today and throwing, but it just seems so mental with him where he is totally convinced himself that he's not injured from the second it happened, but it's dicey. When he gets out there and has to run or make a quick move without thinking or being cautious or try to uncork one deep where he doesn't get as much into it and his throw comes up 5-10 yards short, It could be the difference in winning and losing, because that Bengals team just has a sort of nastiness and spunk to it that I think they almost built themselves up by just playing poorly for the first half of the year and having everyone count them out, and then they've sort of rallied together on that. So I think I like the Bengals in that game. We'll see. And as much as the Niners have been a buzzsaw, the injuries to Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel have been a bit concerned how they might fare against a team that was clearly the best team in the league all year. So I think I'm going chalk in the NFC with the Eagles and calling for the road upset from the Bengals in Kansas City.
All right, while
it's an upset, I haven't seen the line.
While you have your prognosticator's hat on here, Tom Brady next year in the Fox booth or playing quarterback for somebody?
Oh, you know what's crazy about that is I always said, like, for as long as he plays, I will appreciate it and I will sort of soak it in because you'll never see anything like it again, yada, yada. I did not enjoy watching him play this season. It was a slog. Mm. It was a joyless experience. So for the first time, I'm kind of thinking maybe I don't want to. But I kind of like the idea of one more run, whether that's with I would prefer a Patriots reunion from a business standpoint. I would get more people reading my stories, which would be ideal. But you know, there's two teams in New York that could probably use a short-term quarterback. I think Dolphins with Tua's concussion situation. You never know. I think that whatever it may be, if he were to come back to the AFC East, play New England twice, come back. I don't know. I guess I'm picking from a business perspective, but that'd be too good theater to pass up. So I'm rooting for that because Tom Brady in the booth, I don't think we really need that yet or ever.
Boston Bruins playing unbelievable hockey. Tonight they're down in Tampa Bay to play the Lightning. 38 wins already on the season. What's been the difference maker in this team?
That's another mystery that we may not have an answer to. But I just think there's so many things working out for them that it's sort of like the perfect storm. Like Lindholm is the player that they thought they were acquiring. McAvoy has been the reliable monster number one D-man that they wanted when they signed him. Guys like Foligno are playing like they were supposed to, like they didn't last year. Like you go up and down the lineup, there's guys playing at or above levels that were the expectations. Even, you know, a fourth liner like A.J. Greer, who only has, I don't know, 8 or 9 points, his career high in a season was 4 points, I want to say. So like everyone is contributing better. And then you cap it all off with Linus Ullmark being the best goalie in the world for a period now that can't be denied. You know, when it was mid-December, you could kind of say, he'll come back to earth. It's only been a couple months. It's real now. I mean, he is leading the league in everything by a mile. So you factor that all in. You give credit to the coaching. The vibes, I think, are strong, but how could they not be when you win that many games? So it's just everything's worked out. There's really... It's hard to talk about the Bruins because it's just sort of like, well, yep, that's working. So until something happens, that seems to be the status.
Do they need anything at the trade deadline?
No. Is that the right answer?
That could be.
Yeah, I mean, they're never afraid to give up draft picks if they can add to their depth. I don't know. I guess if you were to point out one guy, I don't have the numbers or anything, but I feel like Craig Smith maybe has been the only passenger on the team this year. Maybe if you could upgrade your third line, you would do it, but still minor tweaks I would consider. But I don't think they need to. I think they have given up so much draft capital over the years that maybe this is the year to hang on to the picks that or even gain a couple if you can, you know, shed a player that isn't contributing or doesn't have a future. But, yeah, no, I don't look at it as a dire situation for them to add. Even though I know where they are now means nothing in terms of a cup run, I just think they're built pretty well.
Michael Hurley, WBZ Boston with us. Michael, always great talk with you. You've inspired me with your insight, your knowledge of sports, and I'm thinking even more about a burger, too.
You got to love a good burger. So I'm happy I could change your life in some tangible way today.
You do each time we talk. Thank you, Michael.
All right, have a good one.
You too. Michael Hurley, CBS Boston.